Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. I'm your host, Andrew Rizza, an allied healthcare professional with over 25 years of experience. My career has primarily spanned private physical therapy and public school athletics. Driven by curiosity and a passion for the industry, I created the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast to explore the ever-evolving landscape of healthcare with a focus on sports medicine, physical therapy, athletic training, and sports science. Each week, we'll dive into the challenges healthcare professionals encounter and discuss how collaboration can enhance understanding within the industry. Our goal is to improve the experience for patients and athletes alike. On this week's Behind the Sports Medicine podcast, I'd like to welcome Dr. Sean Rockett. Dr. Rockett has been with Orthopedics New England since 1999 and is the senior partner. A native of Brookline, Dr. Rockett received his Bachelor's of Arts degree in biology from Harvard University. Following that, he completed his medical degree at Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston and his internship in general surgery from Tufts Medical Center. From there, Dr. Rockett finished his residency in orthopedic surgery from the same institution. In addition to his clinical and surgical duties at Orthopedics New England, Dr. Rockett serves as assistant clinical professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. He has been a coach for the Wellesley football, baseball, softball, and soccer youth teams. When he's not seeing patients or instructing students, Dr. Rockett's outside interests include art history, ancient Greece and Rome, and spy novels. Since 2012, Dr. Rockett enjoys being the head orthopedic surgeon for the CrossFit Games. Additionally, he is a triathlete and CrossFit Level 2 certified instructor. He is the author of the injury prevention website for athletes called 321GoMD.com. Now, on to the show. Welcome to this week's Behind the Sports Medicine podcast. Today, I have Dr. Sean Rockett, who is a senior partner at Orthopedics New England and has been there since 1999. Dr. Rockett is also the head orthopedic surgeon for the CrossFit Games, which he has been doing so since 2012. Dr. Rockett, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on today.
Love being here. Thank you.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about you and just kind of your journey as becoming an orthopedic surgeon?
Sure. Grew up in Brookline over by Coolidge Corner. Both parents are doctors, surgeons, and that was always a thought in the back of my head or in the front of my head, like, could I be a doctor? And it sort of just started gradually taking shape that I just sort of was attracted to it and drawn towards it from hearing some of mom and dad's stories that they'd come home talking about at dinner and stuff that they were doing. And especially the surgery part was very interesting, the stuff they were doing. And I just think having both parents as surgeons, you know, it just made it very tangible and very real. Like, you know, this just seems like something I could do. And, you know, then organic chemistry hit and that was a different story. And, you know, then the real grind started. And then, you know, then you started thinking, do I really want to do this? Is this something I really want to do? And you kept questioning yourself and testing yourself. And, you know, I did other things and did other stuff. And I worked in a law office, worked at an accountant's firm, and I just realized I sort of liked the medical aspect, the appreciation you get from people, the sort of coming home and the thanks that you get or the great stories that you can do and help somebody. You know, it's just a good feeling and it makes you feel good. And how can you beat that?
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of us, they get into medicine, whether it be, you know, becoming doctors or physical therapists or athletic trainers. We just like to serve the people. And I think that's what kind of sparked a lot of our interest. And like you had mentioned, your parents are both physicians. And I think a lot of us had come from either someone in our family or someone we knew that was in the profession that kind of drove us to want to do that. So it's good to hear. Now, why did you always think you were going to be an orthopedist, or did you think you were going to do some other type of medicine, or that just kind of, because your parents are surgeons, that kind of fell into your lap?
You know, dad's a neurosurgeon and my mom was a general surgeon. And I knew I didn't like general surgery much just because of the smell. And then, you know, as a student, you get to rotate and you get to see stuff. And then neurosurgery was very intriguing, but I sort of was drawn to the sports aspect of orthopedics. That was the thing that always sort of kept pulling me into orthopedics was being a sports medicine doctor, which sort of since I was little has been my identity, just being an athlete and being on the sports teams. And then, obviously getting hurt. I think everybody identifies as you get hurt when you're younger, and you go to the doctor and they help you. And there's a little identification process there. I just enjoyed being part of fixing things, taking care of athletes who were trying to get back to athletics, as opposed to dealing with cancer or dealing with brain tumors or dealing with GI stuff. I was always drawn towards just the athlete and the sports.
Yeah, I think, and that kind of goes, along the lines of, like you said, most of us have gotten hurt doing something. And I think a lot of us played sports, either football or, growing up as a kid, what'd you do? You played football, baseball, hockey, basketball, and got injured. And hey, what can I do to kind of make the difference as we get older?
I was saying I had a broken radius and a bowed ulna when I was six, and my parents brought me into the doctor's office, and the treatment back then was to complete the break. And we were in his office and he kicks mom and dad out and he looks at me and he says, "No tears," and he breaks my arm over his knee. And I was like, I think there's got to be a better way than this. So I think that drove me, I think, to try to help people do things a better way, maybe. But yeah, that was a tough one.
What can you tell us a little bit about, Orthopedics New England?
Started, Al Spector hired myself and another doc, and he left, and then I was there, and my wife looked at me and said, "You are not going to be on call every other night for your career." So she said, "You better start hiring people." So her impetus was to, try to get people to help. And we gradually grew from sort of general orthopedic group to specialized group. We have spine surgery, physiatry with neck and back injections. We have hand surgeon, foot and ankle surgeons, sports, joint replacements. I think I got everybody on that. But yeah, so, multi-specialty orthopedic group with PAs and three offices in Newton, Natick, and Hopkinton. And a surgery center out here too in Natick, which I just spent my day at.
Yeah, that's great. I think, seeing you guys expand over the years has been great, going to, like you said, Hopkinton and the surgery center now. So it's great having the locations that, patients have, access to, and then growing the practice and bringing more and more physicians in so you guys can, treat your caseload and your patients that are trying to get in to see you guys. And you guys do a great job because you end up, you refer us a bunch over at PT, which is you've always been a great supporter of us when, the old sports and PT and then now ATI physical therapy. So you guys have always been great to us, and we appreciate the patients that you refer over to us.
Sure. No, happy to do it. It's that's been our motto. Our motto has just been get them in and get people in and get them treated, and do it like you're treating a family member. And yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about CrossFit? I know this is kind of, one of the things that you have been doing for a long time, and you're level 2 certified as well. You and I talked about this. I think your wife is, and your son is also certified. Can you tell the listeners about it, why you got involved, what some of the misconceptions are about CrossFit, and then maybe we can dive into maybe some common injuries that you guys usually see.
Yeah. I got involved back in 2012. I was at a regionals and someone got hurt. Someone dislocated their shoulder with, lifting a heavy, heavy weight overhead. And it was at an elite competition. So it was a competition that was going to go. It was one step before going to the international competition. So they were doing a snatch and they dislocated. And actually, I wasn't at that one. That was 2011. And that I was in the operating room and Rhonda called and said, "Someone just dislocated, and I said, "Okay, send them over." And so I realized that, having some help on the sidelines of the CrossFit competitions or the CrossFit games would be helpful. So I reached out and said, "I'm a sports trained sports medicine doc." And I said, "Would you guys like to have somebody on the sidelines at the games in case anything happens?" And they said, "Oh, absolutely. That'd be great." I had been doing CrossFit since 2007. Was one of the original members of CrossFit New England. And I just loved the workouts. And I realized that they're great workouts. It's a great way to work out. A couple of things that can be issues. Number one is the 50-year-olds chasing the 20-year-olds. So that's bad. Anytime a 50-year-old is trying to chase a 20-year-old, it's not going to go well. Chasing numbers. So somebody's building up their numbers and their weights are going up, 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 and they keep chasing these numbers. So the numbers are going to win at some point, right? Like, you can't just keep lifting this, you know, heavier and heavier and heavier. So it's realizing when your numbers are starting to taper. That's really important. And then the other is chasing other people and competing with other people. The fun part, but it can be the dangerous part too. So you really have to stay in your lane, know what your weights are, and that's what a good coach will help you with. And, you know, it's the coaches who are usually pulling people back, and the people are sort of chomping at the bit like a horse trying to go further and further. And it's usually the coaches, in my opinion, when I've been to other gyms, the coaches who are saying, you know, let's go light today or lighter. Let's not build a, you know, one rep max today. Let's go lighter and, you know, just stay in the game. Like, as long as you can stay in the game, you're going to be fitter. You lose fitness when you are out for an injury. So that's sort of been my message. My message is, you know, you're not getting fitter by lifting heavier weights and hurting yourself. Like, so just be reasonable about it. And that's what I've always sort of tried to promote. And CrossFit has sort of heard that. And you know, as I've gotten closer into the higher ups, they've sort of listened to that message and promoted it now. So they're really promoting, you know, a lifetime of fitness versus, you know, coming in and just seeing what kind of weights you can lift. You know, it's really a lifetime plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great message. A friend of mine, you know, Fran Rachopia, I think I had messaged you when you were at the CrossFit Games.
Oh yeah.
To try to connect you guys together. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, listening to him talk to some CrossFit athletes, it's the same message. And I think he interviewed the founder of CrossFit and it was kind of that same message. So, you know, it hasn't obviously fallen on deaf ears. They're listening and they're making sure that people stay healthy. And I'm sure that's partly because of you and what you've discussed with them, you know, to keep people safe. I listened to something recently that you had on on social media about there was a percentage of
the injury rate,
you know, looking at the percentage of injuries in CrossFit versus regular working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell people a little bit about that? Because it's kind of interesting to me to hear that.
So there were a bunch of studies and they look that, how do you define an injury, right? You know, the question is what defines an injury? And so some of the studies have had accepted metrics as losing training hours per 1,000 training hours. So what is the rate of injury per 1,000 training hours? And that has seemed to be accepted in most articles that I've read. They looked at all different sports, and these are not CrossFit articles. These are articles by other people looking at sports, and some people looking at CrossFit, and other people looking at soccer and baseball, basketball, and running, and other, you know, a whole spectrum of sports. Some of the rate per 1,000 hours for CrossFit has been 2.27 to 3,000 per 1,000 hours of training. If you look at football, soccer, basketball, that rate of losing training hours is up in the fives and sixes and sevens. And for running is 12. So CrossFit has a rate of about 3, which is comparable to weightlifting and gymnastics it's been duplicated in several research articles. But the running of 12, so I said on this social media post, just as a joke, and it kind of blew up, and I was just sort of being light. I said, well, you heard it here, folks. CrossFit is less dangerous than running. And obviously not less dangerous, but runners you'll lose training hours, 12 at a rate of 12 per 1,000 hours of training compared to 3 per 1,000 hours of training. And it just blew up because the weightlifters, the big power lifters, were upset because they were saying they're lower than CrossFit. And the runners were upset to say, you know, how can you say that? And we're not tearing biceps tendons and we're just getting, you know, Achilles tendonitis. And then other, you know, the CrossFitters were defending CrossFit, and it turned into a maelstrom. I just sort of sat back and watched, and I was, you said studies in the literature. What do you mean by that? And I replied, and I gave them the studies in the literature, and I cut and paste the article, and It got over 800,000 views on Instagram. So it definitely had some gasoline there.
That's pretty amazing. I think there needs to be some more lit reviews too, right? I think, or maybe I should look at, you know, CrossFit Games in general and see what you guys get. It'd be kind of interesting to see that. I have to say, you know, knowing the runners that we see and we deal with in the clinic, we do see more running injury loss. We definitely tend to see them lose more training hours. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, treatment time. I know for a fact that the runners we see lose a lot more time than some of the CrossFitters that we get in.
Yeah, I mean,
but it'd be interesting to see more literature. You know,
a bad Achilles can be out. You'd be out for months.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, 100%. I mean, and it's interesting you got that. That's amazing. The amount of views you got for that.
800,000. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, but that's the beauty of CrossFit, as we say. Like, if you have an Achilles tendonitis because you did too many box jumps, you do other stuff. There's other stuff to do. But running, you get a bad Achilles with running. Guess what?
You know, yeah, you're not running,
or you're running less. Yes.
Yeah. What are the most common injuries that you see CrossFit related?
Same thing as running, really. Overuse. Overuse is number one. I'd say biceps is the biggest. Biceps tendonitis. And then if you're talking about like other stuff, you know, we've seen labral tears. We've seen slap tears. Slap tears are pretty common for upper body. Low back is an issue with deadlifts and things like that. If somebody's pushing too hard with deadlifts. But that's the thing, like, you know, like a deadlift is lifting something up off the ground, like a grocery bag, or, you know, like, so it's when you put a barbell and people start to think, how much can I lift? Like, it's, you know, you just got to be smart. You can't like 400 pound deadlift at age 50. What, you know, like, please, like, let's be, you know, let's try to keep it functional here. You know, just having people chase numbers is the big issue. But for knees, not a lot of knee stuff, really. Like, not a lot of ACLs in CrossFit, as opposed to soccer, basketball. You know, people, it's rampant in those, and people aren't telling people to stop playing basketball or soccer because it's rampant. You know, early on, CrossFit was getting a bad rap, I think. And
now with the Olympics going on right now, this is I'm sure this question's been thrown around. Do you ever think CrossFit will hit the Olympics?
Interesting. I know that was.
I mean, they have skateboarding,
right? They got tandem. You know, diving. Maybe some version of functional fitness. I'm not so sure CrossFit itself, but there could be a version of functional fitness where you're racing people doing pull ups and doing squats and running and rowing and swimming and. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting to see, because all these sports that they're adding, I think there was some type of swimming event my wife was talking about that's like a dance swimming or something or other. And I was trying to figure it out, and I said, yeah. I was just thinking today, I'm like, well, why wouldn't you have the CrossFit Games? You have the X Games. Why wouldn't CrossFit at some level have maybe, you know, some type of competition that they could use in the Olympics, just like they would in the regular games. Mm-hmm. So just a thought that I had today. So it'd be interesting if it was thrown around.
They could easily do that. They did. CrossFit itself used to have like an international team event where like Europe would go up against the U.S., would go up against Australia, would go up against Asia.
Yeah, maybe that I'll give that. You can have that idea. You can throw it out. Send it to the Olympic Committee.
I'll throw it out.
We talk a little bit about mentorship. You know, when I talk to my guests, we talk how that's kind of very, I feel it's very important for growth and development for anybody that's, no matter what you're doing for a career. How did mentorship help you, and how do you then use that to help, you know, clinical staff that you're working with, or even, you know, attendings, residents, or fellows?
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to sort of identify with or you know, be brought into John Richmond's sort of research group. And he's been sort of my sort of mentor, I would say, my person I look up to the most, and how to think and how to operate and how to act and how to behave. And
I've always admired, you know, Dr. Richmond, JR, over the years. So I would say that, you know, having the ability to see him and see what he does and his research, and that was, you know, very formative for me as a medical student. So I think being able to offer that to other people is really important. Number one, it keeps you on your game, teach the residents from Tufts. And, you know, the young group, you know, and now I'm getting older now to have the young residents, and they, some of them are bright eyed and bushy tailed, and others are, you know, starting to graduate and getting, you know, different questions and getting thoughts and always hearing like, why are you doing this? Like, why is that? Is there a better way? And like, just talking about it at the time of surgery, like, we'll just sit there and talk like, is there a better way to do this? Did you read that article? Did you hear about this article? So it's fun. It keeps it fresh and keeps you on your toes. You have to keep up with the literature and know what's going on. And then we're also at our office, we're hosting the Tufts PA students too. So we have the Tufts PA students rotate with us, and they get to go into the operating room and are in our office with us. So, it's been good and refreshing. And I think you do owe your, you know, like any teacher or anybody, there is a little bit of giving back and realizing, you know, you were like that someday 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, giving back it's a good feeling, just like, you know, being a doctor or healthcare professional. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my staff members a few weeks back, and we were talking about mentorship, and he's like, I never really had formal mentorship. And I said, well, mentorship doesn't have to be formal from day one. I said, that's an ongoing process. I said, I still call on people that are mentors to me on things that I have questions about. So I said, you should think of it as a continuum of your education, but also you as a clinical, you know, a clinician, you should be thinking of that for the rest of your career. It just doesn't end. It doesn't start the first day you step into a new job, and it doesn't end 50 days after you're in the job. It's always right. Continuous. So right. I think that message, you know, resonated a little bit with him. Hopefully it resonates a little bit more as he asks more questions, but I think it's always something that's going to keep us on our toes, like you said, especially when you're having students coming through the clinic.
Yeah. And early on, like I remember, you know, the first week of practice or 2 weeks of practice and clavicle fracture and a lateral meniscal tear and like a, you know, super competitive athlete who's got the championship playoffs coming up. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, well, do we let him play or do we operate? Or, you know, it was one of these tough decisions, like the state championships are coming up, but he has a lateral meniscal tear. And, you know, it's, you know, there's no right answer, but, you know, having a mentor who literally you could just bounce it off and say, tough call, you know, one way or the other. Early on, that was helpful. You know, as you get older, you're dealing with this situation more and more and more, and sort of seeing what happens if you go one way versus the other way, and what you're comfortable recommending, and protecting athletes or letting them be an athlete. And, you know, sometimes a joint decision or their decision might not be the right decision. But as long as they're not doing more damage, you know, there's sports medicine is trying to come to a joint decision without making sure they're not going to hurt themselves more, which is always the tough call.
Yeah, we talk about that even with athletes on a sideline when we're dealing with an acute injury. It's, you know, what are we doing in the best interest of the athlete? And you're trying to make a clinical decision right away. And sometimes there isn't that time to do that. And it's, you know, you have to then reset and try to figure out what's best for the athlete at the time. But then, you know, later on, like when they're in the office with, you know, you or another doctor, what that decision looks like for them if they're a young athlete versus somebody that's older. So there is always that decision making and discussions, you know, down the road. What advice do you have for, you know, someone that's going to aspire to become a doctor, whether it be an orthopedist, general practitioner, work in cardiac or neurosurgery? What would your advice be to them starting out as a...
Be patient. That was the toughest thing I had, was seeing my friends from college, you know, taking off, and you're still chugging along, you know, for 10 years. You know, that was some of the toughest things, you know. Just, you had to put in the hours and put in the time, and there was no glory, and it was all hard work, and it was staying up late and doing all the little details and making sure everything was covered. And, you know, just the duration of training is it's very tough. You got to be sure you're going into it for the right reasons. And I think if you are going into it for the right reasons, you know, you'll be fine. It's a great job. Any kind of job in the healthcare field is a great job to take care of people and help people. But there are certainly days and weekends and late nights at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. where you're going to question yourself. And I think if you're in it for the right reason and there's going to be plenty of jobs out there, not to worry, you'll get through it. But just to be patient, it takes time.
Anything you would change, you know, in your journey as a doctor? Is there anything that you look back on and say, wow, I wish I did that? Or do you feel like you made the right choices?
No, I think I was very fortunate. Just being, a lot of it, I think, is think of all the numbers of people that are applying for jobs and numbers of people applying for positions. And I think it is a lot of people are the same. They're the same on paper. They're the same person in an interview. They're the same personality type. And I think whatever it is, I just feel fortunate. Yeah. Is there anything I would change? I wish residency was shorter.
That's great. And, you know, we're lucky to have you around as an orthopedist in our area. You do a great job. Your team does a fantastic job as well. So I think you guys are doing great things. Hopefully you're going to continue to build and grow. We need more people like you and to help take care of the people that we see and refer out. So, and even the athletes we see.
Can you
give us is there a fun fact about you that you'd like to tell people or things that people don't know about you that would be like, wow, that's kind of interesting about Dr. Rocket, you know? I always like to ask that question to see what comes out. So.
Yeah. A fun fact. The first YouTube video I put up was me in a flying trapeze at a Club Med doing the flip and the return back. Tights and everything.
The good thing is you didn't get hurt, I don't think, right? You didn't need any surgery.
We had a net. I made the flip. The guy caught me. And then on the way back, I almost got it on the way back, but the flip out was, it's tough. If anybody, like, they make it look so easy, you know, just like the men's gymnastics, these guys make it look so easy, but it is really tough to get you're on a trapeze, you got to get your feet on the bar and then you grab onto somebody else and you swing that way.
It's crazy.
But that was at a Club Med and I'd been, you know, they had like a little practice at Club Med. I'd go there for 30 minutes, you know, every other day. And by the end of the weekend, I got the hang of it. And yeah.
That's pretty cool. Before we kind of wrap up today, can you tell us about your website that you use for patients?
I got a new book, an ebook. It's a virtual experience. It's called Where Does It Hurt? And it's got a bunch of videos and surgical videos and anatomy and patient testimonials. And a lot of it is pictures. You know, I'm a very visual person. And if I see somebody and they say, oh, I have pain over here versus, you know, I'm pointing to the side for anybody on the radio or a side of my shoulder or pain here. You know, that's typically a biceps. If I'm pointing to the front, that's usually a biceps tendonitis or a slap tear. So somebody will see that chapter instead of looking at shoulder pain for 300 pages. You know, they'll look at that chapter on biceps or, you know, slap tears and sort of focus or narrow. And again, it's obviously not for diagnostic purposes, but, you know, for somebody to get maybe a handle on what they may have and obviously seek treatment and get a diagnosis from somebody. With that. But I'm pretty excited about it. It's out on roguefitness.com. Rogue's the big supplier for the CrossFit games, and they posted the ebook. And so the ebook is Where Does It Hurt by Sean Rocket.
That's great. That's great. Love it.
Thank you.
If patients want to get a hold of you and want to come see you because you're the best surgeon in Boston, how do they get a hold of you guys? What's the best way for them to reach out to you and your team?
So we have our website is orthopedicsne.com, which is orthopedicsne as in New England.com. Or main phone number is 508-655-0471. And we always are trying to get as many phone calls answered on the first call, but certainly leave a message saying you want to visit and somebody will get back to you. yeah, that's usually, and then you can put in on an email, request an appointment on email, and somebody will certainly get back to you on our website too.
Great, great. That's awesome. Well, Dr. Rocket, I appreciate your time. I know you had a really long day today in the OR, and I appreciate all you do for our patients that we send over to you, and I hope to be chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. And thanks for all you do for my patients too.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. This is your host, Andrew Rizza. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, comment, and share it on social media. Access all of our episodes on platforms such as Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. Stay updated by following us on Instagram at Behind Sports Med Podcast, on X at AJR Sports Sci, or visiting our website at ajrsportsscience.podbean.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at AJR Sports Science for upcoming content. Thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned for our next episode.